It's the only time you have control of Bob McCowan. Let's go. Subscribe to Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan, on demand. It's a symphony of sports, and Bob McCowan is your conductor. Ever been smacked over the head with a conductor's baton? This is Primetime Sports with Bob McCowan on the Sportsnet Radio Network.
Me too. So what? Gotta be born somewhere.
Who's older, you or the boss?
Ooh, that's a good question. We're pretty close.
I know.
Hey, as a party, what are you doing? Nothing. Can you get me a cup of tea, please?
Oh.
Thanks.
And tell us who's older.
Yeah, how old is the boss? He's older. He's way older.
Yeah.
He's way older. I didn't think he was that old. Did you see the doctor?
He works 3 hours a day, though, when he does it.
I work 3 hours a day.
No, you don't.
I do. No, so?
You don't.
I'm here 3 hours a day.
Very different. Very different.
What, you think I don't work?
I think
you think this is not work?
I think you have it down
to... You're not being helpful to my career.
I think you have it down to a science, sir. How's that?
Well, he does get up and sing. That's not work.
He's exhausted by the end of the time.
Please. I'm exhausted working with you for an hour. I have to relax for the next 2 hours with Arash Madani.
Yeah. Oh, yeah, good. Read it. Look down. Read it.
Well, you know, I just wanted to check and see if the date was
Ken
right.
Reed.
Ken Reed, yeah. I'm tired today, too.
Why?
I had to make I had to make chili this morning.
Oh, is this for the...
presentation tomorrow.
The presentation tomorrow?
Yeah.
Are you bringing something in for us to sample then tomorrow?
Depends on how hungry these guys are at 8:30 in the morning. Okay. Can you eat chili at 8:30 in the morning?
Well, if you listen. If
I guess you can eat it any time, really, huh? A couple of eggs with the chili would be good.
Ranchos Huevos or whatever they are.
Well, it's not quite.
No, but I love eggs and chili and salsa and...
All right, I'll bring you some, you crybaby.
Thanks, Bob. That's the best news I've had today.
You got money?
What?
You want free chili?
Yeah, from you? Yeah.
When you go down to Tim's, do they give you free chili?
Once in a while?
No.
Yeah?
Never?
When you're here late?
Oh.
In the old days?
When they're trying to get rid of it?
Trying to get rid of it all?
Yeah.
Yeah. We're closing. You want 9 donuts? No, I know what. Timbits!
Really?
Oh, yeah.
What time do they close? I'm going to go by.
No, you're never here. In the old days, it was like 9 or 10 at night.
Oh, really?
When we were here doing hockey.
Yeah. So I have to make a batch, so I'm tired. So I'm taking the day off. Go ahead.
You're taking the day off tomorrow?
No, here, today.
Aren't you going to the Conn Smythe?
No.
Conn Smythe dinner tonight.
I know all the guys.
Cliff Fletcher's being honored tonight. Your pal Cliff.
That's nice.
He's a nice man.
I'll see him.
Should be honored.
We'll go to House of Chan together.
I've only been to House of Chan twice in my life, both with you.
Really?
Yeah.
I don't remember taking you to the House of Chan, but I guess I did.
Yeah, you told me
you didn't like it? How come you only been there twice?
It's not
Now, there's
really...
a new House of Chan, you know that.
Not on Eglinton?
It is on Eglinton, but it's not in the same place anymore.
Oh.
They moved.
Oh.
Because of the subway.
Oh, really? It's not really in my neighborhood.
No, that's true.
You know, when you think about how you can get there from here, it's not close.
Forget what you're saying. Just pass me my tea, please.
Yes, sir. Before I knock it over.
Yeah, just desperate to need this. Why is the monitor not working? Can you turn the monitor on? Do you know how to turn the TV on?
Let's see. TV power.
I don't even know how to do it.
Oh, I turned it off. And well,
now,
on.
Now we have two off.
No, that one's on.
Well, that one's not.
That one is.
That's a different remote, probably.
Okay.
This says Sportsnet reception. Look at. Are we on TV?
We don't know because we have no monitor. Reception. Oh, there we go. Yeah.
Okay.
So it's actually the cable box that's in trouble.
What does this control, Jen? Sportsnet reception. Is there a TV out there?
Yeah.
That this controls? They're gone.
Hockey Central's on.
So they just put the remote in here because, well, we don't have a TV there anymore, so we'll just put the remote in the control room so it'll mess with Bob's head.
And Bob's on.
Okay.
There we go. Bob's on again.
Yeah, but that's not the live feed. That's the,
no.
That's the TV feed.
No, because it's on the cable box. You have to fix that. You have to change that.
So I can gesticulate and then watch myself gesticulate 7 seconds later. Watch in a minute. There. See? I gesticulated.
We need the camera back here to watch you watch yourself.
It's going to be great when they finish this room.
When will that happen, Bob?
I have no idea.
Okay.
And then we're going to have headsets, and we're going to walk out there, and we're going to go to the bar.
We're having wireless headsets?
Well, I don't know whether they'll be wireless. I don't think so. We'll have to plug them in. But there'll be a plug. There'll be a place to plug it in.
Okay.
Place over there
okay,
to plug it
good.
In.
That's good.
We'll be able to have, like, fireside chats without the fire.
Why don't we? I mean, with all the money they've spent on this, they couldn't have a fireplace? Fireplace had been nice.
I didn't ask for a fireplace. You should have come to the meeting.
I wasn't invited.
I wasn't invited either, but.
You just showed up?
I just went anyway.
Yeah.
So not having another meeting, not changing this room without me. So NBA trade deadline is tomorrow.
Lots of...
just before the show.
How about
3 o'clock Eastern.
Paul Gasol. Would you be interested in having Paul Gasol play here?
Well, that is an interesting question, isn't it? I was pondering that very same thing.
Is he the one thing they're missing?
Well, they're missing that kind of guy, assuming he's okay to play power forward. A lot of people think he's better as a center than a power forward.
But
he's played both.
Yeah.
I don't know. Wouldn't you rather have Horford?
Yes.
I mean, just forget contract. Just as a player. I mean, Gasol is, what is he?
He's 90.
Not quite as,
he's 90.
He's not as old as Springsteen, but...
No.
35? See, that's young for us, but old for him. Be 36 in July.
Yeah. It's an interesting one because...
Basketball guys don't usually play till they're 40.
No.
Pretty close. Some of them. Well, Kobe's, what, 38?
Yeah, but Kobe's a freak of nature. He's when you consider all the years he's been playing. I mean, when did he start playing? 97, I think. So.
Well, he was 18.
Yeah.
He was a high school kid. Didn't even go to college at all.
Wasn't even drafted by the Lakers.
Who's got an additional year? Gasol? Yeah, you get him for next year. Horford's got...
Horford's a free agent? Horford's a free agent in the summer, I believe.
Is he?
Yeah.
Or didn't
either
he...
Either that or it was a huge option or something.
Then I don't want him.
See, and the question becomes...
He's a rental, right? In the back of your mind...
Well, rentals may not be bad, Bob. If you're just looking for the quick fix.
Yeah, except Atlanta's not going to give him up unless you're going to give him something pretty tangible. And I think the price for a rental is always too high. Especially when, look, let's be honest. Is Horford the difference between the Raptors winning the NBA championship and not winning? Honestly?
No.
That's the only situation under which I'd go get him. Okay. If you thought that's the only piece you need.
So are you suggesting that same sentence for Gasol?
Less because you got a year of Gasol.
Okay.
He's not a pure rental. You get him for 2 years.
Yeah.
Well, you get him for the rest of the year.
See, the thing is with Gasol, and what just jumps to my mind, is if you have Gasol here, does he help?
As a veteran? Because he's a veteran player?
Veteran player.
Won championships.
Yeah, there's some leadership there that can help. Does he help Valanciunas play the position that he plays? Does he make a difference? Can there be a mentor situation there?
You give me a 6'9", 6'10 guy to play beside Valanciunas. I think they're going to help on the court. Does Valanciunas need to see somebody in a Raptor uniform and say, oh, Now I know how to do it.
Well, except that people talk about that all the time when you sit in the locker room side by side and you talk about things. And
that's
how you,
stupid people, though, isn't it?
I don't know. I don't see that. You don't think that there can be a mentorship in sports? I mean, I can tell you right now that Jaromir Jagr at 44 has been a mentor to, the 20-year-olds in Florida, and he's helped them.
Well, okay, but those are young 20-year-olds. We're talking about guys who are in their second and third year in the National Hockey League, sometimes first year in the National Hockey League.
Yeah.
The only guy that Gasol could mentor in this team is Valanciunas, and Valanciunas is in, what, his fifth season?
Yeah.
I mean, I think...
I you wonder about it, though, don't you?
No.
Okay.
No, I'm only interested in the skill set. I'm only interested in what he can bring to the team. And...
then I think...
And my inclination, quite honestly, don't do anything.
Right. You beat me to it. Then I'm inclined not to do anything, particularly with the price you're going to have to pay to get them here.
Well, that's my point. Yeah. Why give up valuable draft choices? Raptors have 2 firsts and 2 seconds this year. Is that right? I think.
Just got a note from our pal Devlin.
What Devlin's? He must be listening.
Yes, he is. Gasol has a player option this summer. He will opt out. If he opts out, it's for $7.7 million. So he'll opt out.
You have to pay him $7.7 million to leave.
To leave.
Eek. Well, why aren't we talking to Devlin about this? If Devlin's got opinions on these things, he's a basketball player.
He's got a lot of opinions.
Should have talked to him.
Devlin.
Well, Doug Smith will be on later on. We'll see what he has to say about this. Yeah. He'll have opinions on this. I don't think I'd go for either guy now that I think of it. Uh-oh. More.
No, he's now repeating what we said.
Oh.
That Horford's an unrestricted free agent.
We already said that.
Just said.
We knew that.
Yeah.
We didn't need Devlin to tell us that.
Yeah, I just hope he wasn't driving and typing.
Do you think he can do that?
You do it.
No, I don't drive and type.
Oh.
I don't type at all.
What do you do? You do the verbal dictation into your phone?
No. I wait till I'm parked. I'm not interested in talking to anybody that desperately that I have to do it while I'm driving. I'm busy thinking about making money. How can I feed these children? How can I keep my wife in red-bottom Christian Louboutin shoes?
Devlin's corrected himself again now. So it's
now what?
The option would be for the player option for $7.7 million to play here next year. That's what would be the player option. So for $7.7 million.
Wait a second. Is that over and above his salary or salary?
That would be the salary.
Well, that's not much. Okay. That's pretty cheap, isn't it? By NBA standards, that's pretty cheap. Mm-hmm. 7.7.
The question is how much money, how much does he have left in the tank?
Agree.
And... I mean, if he had a lot left in the tank, why are Chicago shedding him? Why are Chicago not wanting him to play? What does Chicago know that the Raptors don't know, that everybody else knows, that, you know? And
well, I mean...
Masai knows exactly what he wants to do in this situation.
Yeah, we're not going to try and second-guess Masai Ujiri. No. We understand. Is Boone there?
So, now, talk about a team we want to second-guess.
Holy mackerel. What a mess.
What a mess.
Here's our friend Michael Boone of the Montreal Gazette. I heard you were sick. Are you okay?
Yeah, well, I'm a little bit sick. And not just as a consequence of watching hockey. I've caught a bit of a late winter bug after our Arctic cold spell on the weekend.
Well, we had it too. You know, Montreal isn't the only place where it gets cold. I know you think it's the center of the universe, but it's not. Toronto is the center of the universe.
Do you have a cold, Bob?
I haven't had a cold for a couple of years, but I thought I was getting one last night, Michael. I actually told our producer I have a little tickly throat. I'm a little worried. Might not be able to make it today, but fortunately.
But you're a trooper, and there you are.
Here I am.
And I'm a trooper, and here I am. All greetings right. From Gloomy Gulch.
Holy old bald-headed. What in the name of the baby Jesus is going on with the Montreal Canadiens?
Something is rotten in the state of Denmark, and that's not a shot at Lars Eller.
Something is rotten in the state of Quebec. I got news for you. What a mess.
Yeah,
This is worse. This is worse than the Toronto Maple Leafs, because we can ignore the Toronto Maple Leafs. You can't ignore the Montreal Canadiens.
And you have an acknowledged genius as your head coach, and you have a dynamic front office.
Yeah, just ask
them. Committed to a rebuild, and,
yep.
and the fans realize it's going to take a while. The fans here are pretty much gobsmacked by what's happened this year.
That begs the question, Michael, is Mark Bergevin was viewed almost on a semi-religious level at one point 2 years ago with what he did with the club. Is there a lot of impatience with the general manager now, too?
I think the issue with Marc Bergevin is his unstinting support for Michel Therrien. He, you know, when this started to vaguely look like a train wreck, a few weeks ago, he went on record as saying, Michel Therrien is his coach, and then the coach is not going anywhere. And he kind of took the mantle of responsibility onto himself, Bergevin did, maybe in the knowledge that his contract runs through 2022.
Yeah.
He's not going anywhere
right.
in the immediate future. But, I don't know if people know precisely who to blame. And of course, you know, everything is as a consequence of Carey Price. But who knew that this whole glorious enterprise that's, you know, making half-decent playoff runs for the last couple of years was entirely dependent on the goaltender?
Well.
You know, Carey Price went down, and the whole thing, the whole team went right down the drain pipe. It's bizarre.
Well, on that point, then can Bergevin go back on his word? Can he fire Mike Therrien?
Of course he can. Or you know, they can have ever mindful of the obligation to bamboozle the public. They can come up with some story about you know, Therrien's cigarette smoking finally caught up with him, and he's going to be kicked upstairs, or he's going to be shifted sideways, or something like that. But you know, at this point in the season, frankly, I don't know. I don't think it would make any difference. I don't think that the combination of Scotty Bowman and Toe Blake could could coach this team into a playoff run at this point. You know, mathematically, it's becoming more difficult, bordering on impossible with each loss, and the losses keep piling up. I mean, they're in Colorado tonight. That's I'm not optimistic about that, and they're back home on Friday, and that'll be interesting because the crowd at the Bell Center has been relatively patient so far, but I think they're going to be. I think we're going to hear more than a few boos. I don't think we'll get the bag over their head routine, though, because Montreal's a very stylish city, and they can't find shoes to match it.
No Christian Laboutins. No. Well, the red color red bottom shoes, those would be nice with the Montreal uniforms. That'll work well. Michael Boone of Montreal Gazette is with us. Now, your friends over at La Presse are reporting that Price has a torn medial collateral. Do you think that's accurate?
Yeah, I don't think they'd go into print unless they had something reasonably solid, but nobody knows. You know, it's somebody has to do a big takeout and examination of this whole issue with injuries in the NHL. You know, supposedly the veil of secrecy is justified by the fact that hockey is a violent game, and if they know a certain part of a player's anatomy is vulnerable, they're going to go right after it. But, you know, the NFL is a violent game as well. And if a quarterback has a hangnail, it's in the paper on Tuesday before his game on Sunday. I mean, you know, Price has been pretty much on the sideline since the end of November or so, and nobody has a clue. You know, there's been speculation ever since with different theories about what may be wrong. Does he need surgery? Does he not need surgery? It's a very, very weird situation. And, you know, they made a big deal of the fact that he's back on the practice rink. But what we get on the nightly sportscast is a shot of Price going around and around in circles, much like the team. He hasn't donned goaltender equipment yet. And there was a clip last week of him grimacing as he attempted to make a tight turn.
Mm-hmm.
So nobody here is holding their breath on. I think that the revised estimate was that he might be back for the playoffs, but I don't think there's going to be any playoffs. I think they should just shut him down and deal with whatever it is and see you in September.
Well, if it's an MCL, I mean, you have to believe he probably is going to need reconstructive surgery. I mean, you know, and that
it should have happened before Christmas.
Well, then, but maybe what they thought was maybe it's not a full tear. We don't know the extent of it. Maybe they thought the doctor said, look, if he rests and then rehabs, he can probably play the rest of the season and then have the operation during the off season. And maybe that's what they were factoring in, but the rehab hasn't gone as well as they would have hoped. And eventually they're going to have to cut. I mean, it's an MCL. It isn't going to heal itself. Eventually it's going to have to be attended to.
Michael? Dr. McCown, that's a perfectly plausible diagnosis, but again, you know, nobody knows.
Well, I've had four knee operations. I got a pretty good handle on it, yeah.
Did he aggravate it by these, you know, these so-called training exercises he's been doing for the past couple of weeks? Again, who knows? You know, their PR department is the envy of the Kremlin in terms of keeping secrets.
Well, the secrets have really fueled the speculation, haven't they? I mean, let's face it, that's part of the story now, is that they have been so clandestine in their discussions about what's right or wrong with Price that it really opens them up for all these types of stories, Michael.
Yeah, absolutely. And, you know, I think the other story that may come out eventually is a dressing room malaise, because just, you know, the way the team is, you know, I'd like to think they hit rock bottom in Arizona the other night. That had to be their worst performance of the year. 19 shots on goal, just totally giving up for the latter 40 minutes of the game. There's got to be something going on in the room. But again, in a city with ultra intensive media coverage, and you can't turn around in the Canadiens' dressing room for the number of TV cameras and microphones and poor old print guys in there. And yet, you know, we don't know. If there's a problem on the team, it hasn't been reported as yet.
I went to the NHL Awards in Las Vegas last year, and Carey Price was, of course, the one-man show. I think he got four big trophies. And it's clear he's the best goaltender in the world. But we have looked at this Montreal Canadiens team, I think I have, as an imperfect but competent team with an extraordinary goaltender. And the beginning to this season started making me wonder whether they're actually becoming a better team than even I thought they were with an extraordinary goaltender. Now that he's been out and the team has gone in the crapper, should we all be changing, including Mr. Bergevin, their perspective on who these guys are and what this team is? Are they proving to be nothing more than a sub-playoff team with a great goaltender? What are they?
Well, I think that'll certainly be part of Bergevin's off-season calculus, trying to decide exactly what he has here. You know, Price went down, and as the season progressed, a whole bunch of skaters went into slumps. Mm-hmm. For the longest time, they were scoring maybe a goal a game, two goals a game. The goaltending, primarily by Mike Condon and a little bit by Ben Scrivens, who gets the start tonight, has been lousy a lot of the time. And on the nights that it was good, it didn't help.
Yeah.
They couldn't score goals either. So, yeah, I think they got to take a hard look at exactly what they've got. They've got to take a look at the dressing room dynamics, if that's been an undiagnosed problem thus far. The offseason will be busy, as it usually is with losing teams, and that's what we got down here, folks, at this stage anyway.
Mike, when you talk about dressing room dynamics, are you talking PK? Are you talking Max Pacioretty? Are you talking about personalities of specific players?
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah,
I think so. And again, you know, I'm not privy to it. Not now that I'm a lazy blogger. I don't even go to the room after games, and I don't go to practices. But that, you know, there haven't been reports of a blow up or screaming. But I sense, you know, I don't think Pacioretty and Subban are each other's cup of tea. But, you know, so what? I mean, the history of sports, I think, includes rivalries on clubs and the ability to get over all that and just, you know, get every man start pulling on his oars and get the team somewhere. PK is a larger than life personality. I know, you know, if, I think if I had a kid like that in my high school class, he would drive me berserk. And has to have that influence in other players. And not only is he outsized in terms of the flamboyant style with which he plays the game, but I mean he is everywhere. You can't escape him in the media in Montreal, and that's a hell of an accomplishment for an English speaking guy in this market. And you know the whole thing with the hospital donation.
Right. Yeah.
You know, I guess what did they say? $10 million over a period of years. Well, what's the guy in the next stall in the locker? What's he supposed to think? You know, and I'm a deadbeat because I'm not giving $10 million to a children's hospital. You know, I think dynamics come into play.
Yeah, is he resented in your opinion, in your observation, by his teammates?
To a degree. I think one of his best friend on the team, I think, is Carey Price, which is interesting, you know. I think that's an indication of Price's maybe maturity and maybe ability to relate to another star player. But if you were to conduct a popularity poll in the room, I don't know where PK would finish in that. Supposedly Max was selected by a vote among the players to be captain. And I don't know, you know, PK is an alternate captain, but I don't know where he finished in the balloting. We'll have to wait for the exit polls on that one.
PK and Carey as best friends is sort of an interesting dynamic because they seem to be...
Opposites? Oh, no. I mean, you remember
the... You think Price is a lot more...
I think he's a lot more gregarious than people realize.
Yeah, you know, I've not met him. I don't
remember the
when I've seen him. He looks very conservative.
The early days of the end of game, you know, congratulatory hand slaps that Therrien actually outlawed for a certain period of time because it was too much demonstration. Hey, Michael, who's with all the bad play of the Canadiens? Is there any forward that's been consistent enough? I know Desharnais has been there and pretty steady, but he's not even playing tonight. Is it Desharnais or Plekanec that's been as steady as anybody?
Plekanec has been off and on. He went through a scoring drought forever, which doesn't make him unique on the team. As we speak, Desharnais, who's not playing tonight because he's hurt, is mired in a scoring drought. And he is Pacioretty's center of choice, which is kind of weird that Pacioretty should dictate that sort of thing. I think the forward that's had a decent season and a promising season is Alex Galchenyuk. I think you can see a progression in the kid who was drafted third overall, and if you believe the scouting reports, was kind of a steal at number three that year. He lost a year in junior because of an injury, so that's retarded his development somewhat. But I think he turned 22 last week, and he's having a very good season. But there again, you know, they can't decide, is he a winger? Is he a center? Who should be playing with him? A lot of questions.
Where would you play him?
Questions and not many answers. I play him at center.
You would?
Because, because they need him. You know, Plekanec is getting up there. Desharnais is just too small to be a first or second line center in the modern NHL. And Galchenyuk has the size, has the ability, and I frankly think they've somewhat hampered his development by kicking around and moving him to wing and back to center and back to wing again. Can't help the kid's confidence.
Before we let you go, let's jump ahead a couple of months. Montreal Canadiens continue to play miserably and miss the playoffs. Does all hell break loose during the offseason? What does this team do? Do they look at this and say, well, it was a blip, we'll get Carey back and that'll cover everything up? Or do they have to do some serious contemplating about changing this team?
I think they have to do some serious contemplating. I don't know whether we're talking about a major overhaul or whether some tweaks would do it. I don't, you know, it's going to depend on what position they end up with in the draft. Are they going to get one of those blue chippers, either Matthews or one of the two Finnish kids that is NHL ready? There's some organizational soul searching that has to be done, because their AHL team in St. John's is awful as well. It's not like
They got guys ready to come. Yeah,
there's not a lot of blue chip prospects in the right. development stream. So it'll be a busy off season for them.
So you don't think Bergevin will be busy on the 29th?
I think he's going to be a seller, but is there going to be a big lineup of buyers?
No. That's like a lot of teams in Canada right now.
Teams in Canada now.
Maybe.
Well, we're going to talk
about I don't know what you're going to get for a Thomas Fleischman. I think that, you know, the most valuable commodity, were they willing to deal him, would be Pacioretty, because you're talking about a proven scorer who I think has 2 or 3 years left to go on a ridiculously cheap contract. It's like 4.5 rising to 4.9 or something. Whether he's the greatest leader the Canadians ever had is open to question, but he is certainly the greatest bargain the Canadians have ever had.
You would advocate trading the captain of the Montreal Canadiens?
I'd think about it.
Wow.
Has that ever happened?
Now, what was coming back in return?
Toronto Maple Leafs just traded their captain, you may have heard. Have the Montreal Canadiens...
And hasn't he done well in Ottawa?
Well... Have the Montreal Canadiens ever traded their captain? Ever? I can't remember one.
Maybe during, was Mike Keane a co-captain or something when he got dealt? Maybe.
What about Carbo? What about Carbo when he got traded to Dallas?
Yeah, maybe. I think Carbo might have been captain
there
when
you go.
He was dealt. And Chelios, also a co-captain, maybe when he got dealt.
Yeah.
So it's certainly in the glory years, Emil Bouchard and Henri Richard and Serge Savard and on and on. I'm going to start to cry here, boys.
the good old days, yeah.
Yeah, none of those guys were ever dealt.
Boone, take care of yourself. Get well, and we'll talk to you soon, I hope.
Thanks very much, Bob.
Thanks, pal. Michael Boone of the Montreal Gazette.
By the way, the other issue becomes Carey Price in the World Cup. September.
And, well, if he doesn't play the rest of this year,
well, hold on.
He ain't playing in the World Cup.
Okay, Bob. So, but do you run the risk? Do you name him to the World Cup roster on March the 1st, knowing you're going to replace him?
If he hasn't, March the 1st isn't that far away. Do you have you have to name it by March 1st?
That's when the roster's being named. Okay, March the 1st.
And what happens if he's injured?
Well, then you can replace him.
Well, then you do that,
and you don't tick off the guy that you're going to replace him with. I mean, what do you...
Well, no, because the guy you're going to replace him with is the number 4 goaltender, and he's going to know that.
All right.
Under any circumstance.
Okay, so you're naming Carey Price.
Well, yeah, if you can replace him if he's injured. I'm saying if Carey Price doesn't play the rest of this year, he will not play for the World Cup.
That's a given.
Will not.
Yeah.
The Montreal Canadiens would go berserk. I think they're going berserk right now. They'd go more berserk.
Berserker.
Even more berserker than that.
Okay.
Most berserk. Would you fire the coach?
It's not a hard question. Okay. I would think about it, but who am I replacing him with?
Is it his fault? Do you think it's his fault? Do you think this
I blame
this team
the manager more than I blame the coach.
I mean, the
two deals that Marc Bergevin made last season to try to improve his club were Zach Cassian, and Alexander Semin. And neither made the club in the end. And people could say, well, it was only $1 million.
Well,
it was a trade to get a guy out of town.
Yeah.
But those were deals that they thought were going to help the hockey club, and they didn't help the hockey club.
I understand.
I think Mark Bergevin's done a worse job than Michel Therrien.
Well, that's interesting. And I think Michael Boone is like most Montreal observers, that he's looked at this team for the last 2.5 years or more and came to conclude that this team was actually a pretty good hockey team. And has a difficult time now recognizing maybe they weren't that good.
Well, what happened?
Maybe they were never as good as they appeared to be when they played in front of Carey Price.
Do you remember the year they went to the Eastern Conference Final against the Rangers?
Of course I do.
Chris Kreider got hurt. Chris Kreider ran into Carey Price.
Yeah.
Price goes down. What happened to the rest of the series? Nada. They were nothing. Carey Price goes down. I mean, he is the team. And they haven't done anything in the last 18 months to try to help insulate this team from itself.
I tend to agree. I think even I, who was skeptical about how good they were and said so repeatedly to Mr. Boone over the last couple of years, I started to believe at the beginning of this year when they got off to that hot start. I thought, you know what? I was wrong. These guys really are pretty good. And you know what? I was right the first time.
I was just checking.
They're crummy.
They're only like 7 points ahead of the Leafs in the standings. You know that. 7 points.
Go Leafs, go.
I mean, could you? When Mike said
that would drive them out of their minds in Montreal if they finished behind the Maple Leafs in a rebuilding year.
When Mike said that they were hoping to get Austin Matthews or one of the two Finns. Yeah, I'm saying, hold on.
Yeah, you got to finish first or last or something.
You got to win the lottery. You got to be in the top three.
Yeah, they might be.
My goodness gracious, what a plummet!
James Hinchcliffe will join us next when Primetime continues on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks.
Now, prime time is anytime. Subscribe to the Primetime Sports Podcast at iTunes or with your favorite podcatcher. Sportsnet 590 The Fan on demand. Now, more of Bob McCowan and Primetime Sports on Sportsnet 590 The Fan.
Seventeen minutes before the hour, it's primetime on the Sportsnet Radio and Television Networks. McCowan, Madani. Oh, later. That's Madani. This is Shannon now.
And by the way, the Canadians are 9 points ahead of the Maple Leafs. 9 points.
3 3-point games. That's right. All it takes.
As long as you shoot from beyond the 3-point line, you got a chance, Bob.
Yep. Cliff Fletcher will join us later on. Jesse Barfield, Brian Burke, Bruce Boudreau.
Brian Burke. Seriously?
Well, I don't. There it is.
Ask him if they're going to acquire a new goalie in Calgary. Their guy just went down for the
rest
of the season.
Why don't you stay and ask? Oh, no, you're going to the awards dinner now. Show them your tickets. There you go. They give you one or two? They give you one, right? You
want to go and a map of where to go.
You're
going to
go with all your friends.
Oh, my friend. Yeah.
Here's one of our favorite guys. He is the mayor.
I'm going to see James Hinchcliffe down there.
He's the mayor of Hinchtown. He is James Hinchcliffe. Hiya, Hinch. How are you?
I'm great, guys. How are you?
Well, I'm all right, but I got to work with Shannon this week. You know what
it's okay,
a pain
James.
In the butt that is.
Sorry. It's like having a co-pilot you don't trust. You know
exactly. That is exactly.
Am I gonna be your friend at the event? Am I the friend?
You might be.
Yeah, you have to sit. You have to sit with them because
I'm not sure they actually got me a ticket, so I might need your plus one.
Okay.
I just kind of showed up in a suit and acted like I knew what I was doing.
It always works for me.
Yeah. How many times you been in the car?
Seven days in the car so far.
And how's it going?
It's going great. I mean, it's the first one back's always a little bit daunting. You want to make sure everything still works and you still know what you're doing.
Well,
but after that, it's been smooth sailing. We've actually had some really good tests. You know, Honda have had some big developments over the off season that we're pretty excited about, and we haven't gone head to head with the Chevy yet to see where we stack up. But hopefully, it all goes well.
But no stiffness, no soreness in your body, nothing like that.
No, I've been really lucky, and we've done a lot of miles, and now, one day I did an entire day of testing, and then at about 3 o'clock, they put me in a full race sim. So you've done, over a race distance worth of miles, and then did a race distance consecutive, and everything held up, and, no lasting effects. So it's been very positive so far.
So I can't relate to this, but, if I'd gone through what you went through, I'm thinking the first few times I'm in the car, I'm going to take it easy, kind of slowly work myself back into it. I don't know whether regain any confidence is any issue at all. I suspect it's not. But how did you handle it? Did you just get in the car and go, all right, let's go fast?
Well, yes and no. I mean, obviously, the last thing you want to do is make a fool of yourself and bin the car in your first run back.
Yeah, that would be kind of dumb, yeah.
That would not go over very well with anybody. But, I took the first run pretty easy and just kind of slowly built back up to it. But within about three runs, 15 laps, call it, everything came back. Everything felt very natural. It was, a lot of it's muscle memory and things like that. And
yeah.
it was just nice. I had this one moment where I was going through turn one at Road America, very quick corner, fourth gear, about 130 miles an hour. And the car steps out sideways. Correct it, kept my foot in the gas, didn't even lift, and just kept going. And I kind of thought to myself,
wow.
Yeah, all right, we can still do this. This is good. We're all right.
So you're admitting then you did have some doubts at some point?
You always have that voice in the back of your head. I mean, athletes in general, live in this internal state of self-confidence, and it's often overinflated and all the rest of it. But, after something like that, I was confident I'd be able to get in and drive a car again, yeah, but that last 3% that separates good from great, you know, a guy that runs the race to a guy that wins the race, that's the hardest thing, obviously, to get and to have. And so that's the part that you worry might not be there anymore. Can I still get that last percentage point that is going to put me ahead of the rest of the field? And once I got back in the car and got back moving, and the more tests we did, the more confidence grew, and it's just got me so excited to get back to competition.
This may not be a fair question to ask you, but this was your accident happened as a result of car failure, not driver failure. Do you think your response, reaction, the way you've handled this might be different if it was the other way around?
Definitely, yeah. I mean, you know, there's a lot of things in racing that you can't control, and things like mechanical failures, that's one of them.
Yeah.
And I accept that as part of the sport, and so I trust my team, and I don't fear getting back into the car that it'll happen again. If it had been my mistake, you know, that's one of the – if there's 1,000 variables in a race, as a driver, you control 10. And so if it was my mistake, that means I screwed up one of those 10 things I was actually in control of.
Mm-hmm.
And that's a lot harder for me to take. So I think it would have had a different impact on me and an effect on me getting back in the car had it been something that I did wrong.
By all accounts, the biggest fear after the injury was that you could have bled to death. Has your attitude about life changed because of that?
Absolutely. It would take a special breed of person to go through something like that and come out the other side without any of their perspectives changed in any way. And, you know, professionally, I say I'm the same. I am just as driven, as motivated, as hungry to do well in the car.
Mm-hmm.
But on a personal level, absolutely. To have been sort of that close to things being a lot different in a much worse way, and to have seen, you know, the support that I had from so many people, obviously close friends and family, people in the industry, fans, complete strangers. I mean, it was incredible. It was a very overwhelming, very humbling experience in that sense. And it really does give you an appreciation for the little things in life easily you can lose those.
Did you ever think you wouldn't drive again?
Nah.
Well, let him
not
answer.
Not really. I mean, when I woke up in hospital, I was on a ventilator, and I can only communicate with pen and a piece of paper. And my third question was, when can I get back in the car?
Okay. All right.
There you go. Well, and so you'll test all this for real in about a month in St. Pete, right? That's where the season starts.
Yeah, March 13th, we kick it off, Streets of St. Pete.
Yeah. You like that course? You've done well.
Love it. You know, I got my first IndyCar win there back in 2013, and special place.
Yeah. Well, listen, we wish you the best of luck, and we know you'll have a big year this year, and we'll stay in touch with you over the course of the year if you're willing, and we thank you as always for taking a few minutes for us today. Thanks, Inge.
No, always a pleasure, and I think they actually gave me a +1 if you want to come crash the party.
No, Bob has other plans, James. Other plans.
I got to eat chili tonight with my wife. Thanks, Inge. We'll talk to you soon.
Thanks, guys. Appreciate it.
James Hinchcliffe, IndyCar driver, survivor, and going to get back in the car at St. Petersburg in a month.
Yeah.
It's in the middle of I know this because it's the middle of baseball spring training. And it's right down the road. So, and the last time we were in St. Pete or in Dunedin with spring training, you know, back when Rogers had money, you know, before they bought hockey, wasted all that money on hockey.
I don't know what you're talking about.
Hinch came over.
Oh, did he? Yeah. Oh, that's right.
It was the week before the race.
And by the way, the Toronto stop for the Indy circuit is July 17th.
That's correct. And the Indy 500 is May 29th. Is there anything else you'd like to know?
Oh, I knew that. I was just helping people who want to buy tickets.
Oh. Well, I suppose they're on sale now, aren't they?
Good seats still available.
A few.
So, about 80,000.
Well, thank you for stopping by once again.
Okay, Robert, I'll see you tomorrow.
And John, enjoy the festivities tonight. Do you have a suitable attire? Because it's not what
it's
you're wearing.
Cardigan
right
Wednesday.
Now. You can't wear a cardigan to the award dinner.
It says,
no, you can't.
Cardigans acceptable.
It doesn't say that at all.
It does.
Arash Madani will wander in here and liven things up. Cliff Fletcher will be with us. Senior advisor doesn't mean anything.
Bring your chili tomorrow. We have to have a taste test on the air.
Sean Assail of ESPN, the magazine, and former Blue Jay and Yankee. We'll disregard Yankee. Jesse Barfield coming up on Primetime.